This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Finish your year with your dream kitchen with help from Menards. Clearview Cabinetry offers a selection of finishes made with the finest materials and built to withstand life's sticky messes. They provide features like soft close doors and drawers and cabinet accessories to match your unique style. Don't wait to finish your projects. Save big money on Clearview Cabinets and check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of The Things You Can't Touch, the podcast where philosophy meets the real world. Join us as we touch on the things you can't quite put your finger on, but won't stop thinking about. Okay, just a little round of applause, don't mind me. Marcel.
Yes.
I'm so happy that you're here. I would love for you to introduce yourself to the people, mm-hmm. just to let them know who our current guest is. Yes. So I'll leave you to do that.
I'm Marcel. Marcel Moses is how people know me on these streets. 17 years old. People will be shocked to hear that.
Yeah.
I'm studying for my A-levels. I'm just living life, you know. Getting through, you know. Busy.
Yeah, as you should. And you have, Marcel Moses on TikTok. Do you have Instagram, any other?
Marcel Moses with a zero on all accounts.
Moses with a zero.
Yes, with a zero.
Make sure you hit him up, make sure you message him, engage with his contact, with his content, especially after this episode, because I think we're going to have a great conversation.
Yes.
It's very interesting that you're 17 years old. Mm-hmm. I think you're going to bring such great perspectives because mm-hmm. you have such a youthful mind, but you're very thoughtful. Mm-hmm. And I can tell with the content that you post, mm-hmm. I'm not going to even waffle for too long. Mm-hmm. A lot of information about you will probably come up in the during this episode. If there's anything that you don't really want to say, also feel free to just omit that and I'll be fine. So the question that I'm going to ask you today is, do you think or does identity shape experience or do our experiences shape our identity?
Okay.
Do you see? I feel like it's very sociological.
Mm.
Don't feel pressured to immediately say anything, mm-hmm. but you can give me a straight answer. You can even just say yes or no.
I think you're right. I lean more towards identity shaping your experiences.
Okay.
I think the parts of you, like your race, your mm-hmm. sexuality, mm-hmm. your gender, mm-hmm. I think all of that shapes your experiences and basically how you'll go about life.
I like to
relate all of this to me and what I go through, because I find and it'll be easier for me to kind of explain myself like that. So I think the parts of me, mm-hmm. e.g. my race, my sexuality, I'm gay, it's shaped a lot of who I am. It's built me and molded me into the person that I am. I've had to become very confident.
Yeah.
When I walk into a room, I have to make I have to you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I have to Marcel's enter the room.
Yeah.
I can't be timid because mm-hmm. I know people at the back of their minds are going to be thinking, oh, you know, Marcel's gay or Marcel's that mm-hmm. feminine twang at the back of his voice. Can play with him, can try him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was in secondary school, that was the thing, you know. Marcel's that kid that they can try and pick on, but they won't, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, that's, I think that's just a brief overview
your answer is.
We'll
okay,
get
cool.
More into it.
Yeah, we definitely will, because I had a feeling, if I know I didn't have any single feeling, I just thought about it from both ways.
Mm.
And the typical response is usually, not that you're wrong or right or anything, but the typical response that comes from like phenomenology, is just the idea that both play into each other simultaneously at the same time. But initially when I first thought about it, I was like, I don't think I agree with that. I personally think that, but this will definitely change over the course of our discussion.
Yes.
I personally think that our experiences is what shapes our identity. But the only reason why I think that is because sometimes I can be very two-dimensional in my thought and like historical. So in my head I thought, so there's this thing called the state of nature in philosophy. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't.
Okay. So the state of nature is basically a concept that was developed by Rousseau. What was his name? What was the main guy? Hobbes.
Mm-hmm.
So Hobbes, Rousseau, and another guy, I've forgotten his name. And they ultimately said, if we were in a state of nature, so if we're in a world where nobody has interacted with each other, there's no government, there's no anything, like people are just by themselves, in and of themselves, before politics is instated, how will people behave? And for me, I think all of our identity, like brackets and categories, that comes from us interacting. So we have to experience first before we gain an identity. That was my initial thought. But then what happened was, historically, yes, granted, that's what happened, but what we, especially as Black people, especially as you because you're gay, and me because I'm a woman, so there are so many intersectionalities, there are so many areas that were oppressed. It's like we need to think about it in terms of these identities have already been established for us.
Yes.
And now we're stepping into that. So that's why I'm able to very much hold space with what you said, in that, our identity shapes our experiences. And I think I want to ask you, do you think that's a good or bad thing?
It really depends.
Okay.
It depends.
Yeah.
I think when I'm having fights in the middle of Hoxton Street and being called a faggot. Oh, I don't know if I'm allowed to say that.
You're allowed to say anything.
In the middle of the street.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a good thing.
Yeah.
But I think that's more the people that I've come across.
Exactly.
And I think in a lot of other aspects, it can bring community. It can, bring friendship,
That's so true.
And it's a complicated one. And I want to go back to, what you said about a state of nature.
Yes,
and
love that.
I think I'm hearing what you're saying because, race and gender, they're all socially constructed.
Exactly.
So I'm hearing what you're saying. I'm open to evaluating my points.
Okay. That's the thing. I feel like we can very much bounce off of each other. It's not even a thing where you have to agree with me or I have to agree with you. I just want to see what do we end up coming up with? Because by the end of it, I feel like whenever I talk to people, we always end up with something that can be converted into like a academic article. And I think that's really cool.
Yes.
Okay. Now, the next thing that I wanted to say is, I want to talk about physicality or like physiology in some cases, because a lot of the time when people think about identity, is always about social indicators and a lot of theoretical things. But people don't really consider like the fact that being Black is a phenotypical thing. Like you are so evidently Black, you cannot escape that.
Yes.
And even for some people who are physically disabled and visibly disabled, you cannot escape the fact that you have that disability. And people, as a result, are going to treat you differently. And that's the thing that I also wanted to talk about. Like, what is your take on the concept of experiences? Because what counts as an experience?
An experience. It's a very complicated one. Your experiences are, I don't want to say it's the things you go through, because that I feel like that simplifies it.
Quite reductionist.
The things that you go through that make you who you are, I would say.
Wouldn't you say that every single thing that you go through makes you who you are? Because the person that you are right now is not the person who walked through the door.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
Over time, I think, because, your experiences at 12 months old, you're not going to know what you did at 12 months old.
Yeah.
So I think it's throughout life, the things you go through, the things, you know, the things that mold your mind, the things that shape your mindset, you know, the things that you don't want to go through, because that also counts as an experience. I'd like an example, for example, a heart attack, that's an experience. It's, and that will change your life. That shapes your life. Even going to the park and sitting in the park is an experience. You know, you're taking in the air, you know, your mind is at rest, you know, good vibes, you know.
Good vibes, literally.
We need these good vibes in this bad vibes country now. So, you know, it's the things you go through, from the little things to the big things.
Have you heard of John Locke?
I haven't.
John Locke, like what you're saying, and this, you know, this is why I do what I'm doing, because you wouldn't know that what you just said is a philosophical concept. And John Locke actually developed this idea about our identities and our essence being an amalgamation of our experiences and memories over time. And I think that's really cool that you touched on it before I even got to talk about it, because that was something I was going to talk about. Maybe I'll bring him up again, but we'll see. Now I want to talk about something that you're more familiar with, which is the concept of socialization. Now, so many things socialize us. We don't have to talk about all of them, but I'm just going to name a few. So school, parents, religious communities, general communities, friends, the news, social media. Yeah, these things all socialize us. And I just want to start off with like a overarching branch of a question, which is, do you think that they do a good job at socializing?
I think they do a good job at controlling. They do a good job at controlling, particularly the news, the media, religion. I think the concept of, because I'm studying this in A-level sociology.
As you should.
The ideological state apparatus.
Wow, love
used
that.
Used to control the working class.
Any definition for the people who are confused?
So these are basically states of ideological control meant to suppress the working class.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Meant to, you know, keep, you know, the bourgeoisie, those at the top, those in power, high level, you know, well, not high level, high upper class individuals. Up top. I think the family to an extent. And I think as time goes on, because we're shifting to a, it's not the nuclear family is, it's losing its, you know, it's losing its stronghold over society.
It's not really staple anymore.
It's not really the staple because, you know, postmodernism, choice, people can now choose who they want to be their families, you know, for gay people. There's a, a lot of gay people become, you know, they get kicked out by their family because of, you know, who they are. They go out onto the streets and they, you know, they find a family outside, they find a community outside. So that too in itself is a family, you know? So to an extent, I would say the family does control, but not always, you know? But it's particularly things like belief, like that really like, in some cases it can because you would want to be who you, there's some gay people, like when I was like, I don't know, 9, 10, 11 and I was finding who I was, in my head I was thinking, A, like, will God like this? And you know, and I think as I've gotten older and as I've gotten less religious, I'm able to be more confident with myself and not have this, you know, thing at the back of my head thinking, oh my God, am I going to hell? You know? And I think also that's another reason my family will, you know, control. Because in some, especially growing up in an African family, there is like, they will push you and they'll canal you into a particular, you know, into a particular pathway. You know, you must do economics, you must do law, you must do this,
you must become a doctor,
you must get a degree. So, you know, I think that in itself could be a state of control, because it's like, you know, you're not, you know, being who you want to be. But yeah, it's
So I want to just bring back the question, because I feel like, you know, it was, you touched on everything, which was, which I didn't expect, which is like really cool, because you brought everything together in an umbrella. And I guess, because even my question, I don't know even if it's fair to even ask if these things are doing a good job at socializing us, because what is a good job at socializing us?
Very subjective.
Yeah. So I think that's the next thing that I want to ask you. So if you could like build your own world, I guess, what would your ideal state of socialization be?
Oh,
yeah.
That is a,
it's a big question.
Big question.
Oof.
That is a
I'll give you time to think about it.
Oof. Because there's so many stages of socialization. So there's when you're a child and there's secondary and, you know, that weird.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Adolescence period, and then there's adulthood, you know. I think where the key part of it is the first really 18 years. And for me, it's not even complete. So
that's what is so crazy, but
the first 18 years of your life are crucial, you know. I think socializing people into a way of control wrong is subjective. It's not right. It's not right, because as a child, you want to feel like you have limitless possibilities.
Yeah.
You want to feel like, you know, you don't want to feel like you can't be who you want to be, you know, and you don't want to feel like people are judging you all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there's what's it called? I think it's called canalization, for example, where they, you know, socialize boys and girls into particular gender roles.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So I think even that in itself is harmful, because, you know, I think gender is on a spectrum, you know. You know, socializing people into
specific categories,
especially in this 2025,
it
doesn't make a lot of sense. So just I was socializing people in, obviously with reason, in a way where they can express who they want to be, where they don't feel limited, where they don't feel controlled, you know, because I think we all know what's going on with BBC and, you know, the news and all of that BS.
Yeah.
Rise of fascism. Crazy. That is a big one.
Yeah.
So that also too, you also have to, I think this is where now control now kind of comes into it.
Because that's the thing that I wanted to even point out, because I think control has a lot of negative connotations to it. I always say negative connotations, I get bored of myself, but it seems very negative in and of itself because of the way that the word control is used.
Yes.
But control doesn't always have to be a bad thing.
Yes.
So that's, I guess, what my question is alluding to. The way you've explained it is really good. So you want people to have freedom, basically.
Yes, but
you want people to be open.
But freedom of speech doesn't equal freedom of consequence.
Okay, no, talk about that.
So, you know, I think telling people that they're wrong is also a big thing. E.g., you know, you can't be racist. And I think that's what I mean when I say, you know, control and social control, you know, like controlling who people want to be and controlling people's identities.
So that's bad. That's what you're saying.
That's bad.
Okay, cool.
You know,
yeah,
I think that aspect of control. But then there's also controlling people as in, you know, fucking GB News and all of these. Okay. Now I'm actually sounding a bit, you know, how do I put this? Controlling people so they don't become extremists, you know?
Yeah.
We don't want racists and, you know what I mean?
Like, I think I understand the struggle now.
Yeah.
It's like to, putting boundaries.
Boundaries.
Around, like, so limits.
Mm.
There's a point at which, once you get there, now you're being, like, you're too radical.
That's
basically
why I said
drag.
Within reason.
Within reason, okay. Mm. So there are, I don't even know what terminology to use, but I know exactly what you mean, and hopefully the people listening also know what you're talking about. Mm. But thank you for saying that, because I didn't even... Because you know when people talk about freedom and, you know, liberty and all those things, it's very much, yeah, do what you want. But bringing up that part, which is... within reason, because some people's freedom can infringe on others.
Exactly.
Is very yeah. I really like the fact that you brought that up. What I like to do is bring up different philosophers and how they're relevant to what we're talking about, to see if you agree with them, if you want to further their point, if you think this is all right, but I'll take out that, basically. Yes. So there's a guy called, he's French. Do you speak French? Do you know any French? Right. So there's a guy, his name is Jean-Paul Sartre, very, very British version of me saying it. And he coined this school of thought called existentialism. And he argues that existence precedes essence. So ultimately, we are not born with fixed identities, but we create them through our choices and our expression. So what do you think about that?
I think I alluded to it earlier, where I said gender is a spectrum.
Yes.
I think you so you're born, all right, you know, 9 months in your mother's womb, you know, you've come out. And I think where the parts of your identity, they exist within a spectrum. And it's based on, you know, your life experience and based on what you go through and based on, you know, the outside, you will find the part of the spectrum where
you lie. Yeah.
I think that's why I say... That's why I say stuff like, some people are born gay. You know, well, not even some people, you are born gay, you know? You can't choose to be gay. At some point on the spectrum of sexuality is where you lie. Some people are bisexual, some people are pansexual, some people are all the way there, you know? So, as time goes on, you will find who you are. You know? And yeah, I think it's important not to, because a lot of people tend to do this.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, you're gay, that's a lifestyle that you've chosen and yada yada yada. And it's like, you know, if I really want, like, live, it's not easy.
Yeah.
It's not easy. Like, I don't want a life of suffering, life where I have to think about, like, what my family, like, everything I have to think about, like, if I want to find somebody, if I want to, you know, have children, and I have to think about, is my family going to like this? Who's going to disown me? Yada yada yada.
Yeah.
And that's not something that I would choose to have, you know. So it's important. Now I feel like I'm going away from the point of fixed identity, but it's important to, you know, not, you know what I'm saying.
I'm trying to bring it back together, basically, in my head, because what you said is really great, basically, and I'm trying to. Because there's so many things that's running through my head, and this is literally just to probe at your mind, not to disagree with anything that you're saying. It's more so that people can understand where your thought process is coming from. So what I want to ask you is, do you think anything, because what you've said, it sounds very, very subjective.
Yes.
It sounds very liberal, which is not a bad thing. I want to ask if you think anything in life, anything in our experiences, anything in our identities are or should be objective, or I guess either or. Does that make sense? Because you've spoken a lot about spectrums.
Yes.
I think that's what it is. You've spoken a lot about spectrums. Is there anything that's just, I'm forgetting all the English today.
I get what you mean.
Is there anything that's A or B, basically?
I get what you mean.
Yeah.
Your eye color, your nails, your feet size,
okay,
you know, your skin color, you know. Okay, that is part of your identity.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm evaluating my own points here.
Yeah, as you should.
I think the social parts of your identity are, what do you call it?
Are the spectrum things. Yeah.
And the stuff like your eye color, you know. But even then,
because that's
you
what
can
I was
change
say.
Your eye color.
There are things, and it's not even, it's not, that's the thing. There are things that overlap because of something, you know how race.
Yes.
Basically, not, you know how race basically as a concept is initially, it seems very objective. It seems very, this is your race, full stop. But there are people who are mixed race. There are people who can pass as another race. So it's just like, is there, that's what I'm asking. Is there anything about your social identity, because race is part of your social identity, it's a social construct.
Yes.
Is there anything in that realm of life that is or should be objective? And you can say no.
I think after you've said, you know, that some people pass, you know, some mixed race people do pass as, and I know a couple of people that do pass as white.
Yeah.
I think perception, you know.
Okay.
I think that's more that's how others perceive you.
Wow.
You know?
That's
because
so good.
It, there's a difference between how you identify and how you're perceived, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that
that gives me another question.
Mm.
As I'm sitting here thinking,
mm.
who are you? In that, are you who you say that you are?
Mm.
Are you who you believe you are? Are you the social identities that you've placed yourself into?
Mm.
Or are you just who people perceive you to be? Mm. If that makes sense. Because you claiming that you're something is all good and well, but that's not the case if people don't treat you that way, one.
Mm.
And two, if people just don't care. Do you know what I mean?
Who are you? Such a loaded question.
Yeah, of course it is. Even when I said it, it was a lot.
Such a loaded, because there's Marcel Moses
mm-hmm.
and then there's Marcel Otim.
Mm.
Do you get it? Marcel Otim is... Yeah. Who I was born as.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as I got through, as I think when I reached 13, 14 and started becoming more confident, I don't want to say I created an identity.
You can say that.
I did create an identity for myself.
Yeah.
Marcel Moses,
mm-hmm.
the person that's on TikTok chatting shit, the person that's at school, you know, cussing these hoes.
Yeah, as you should.
You know, I think who I am is very complex. And I think I'm relating it to myself because, you know...
You're only you, so I'm only what else?
In it. So, when I say... I think you said, like, the parts that... repeat yourself again, sorry. You said...
What part? I've said a lot.
You said a lot. There was something that you said that really stuck. The way that you see yourself,
yes,
and the way that you perceive it, is that really the way it is?
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay.
And you know, it depends. Like, I'll say I'm confident. I'll say I'm out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say I'm, you know, what's the word? There's the, like, you're extroverted.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then when I get into a group of people that, you know, I don't necessarily like, or they look very intimidating, I'll back in, like, if you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's who I am is very complex. It's so complex. I'm Marcel is what you need to know.
At the end of the day.
Yes.
But yeah, it got me thinking, really, because a lot of the time you want people to have the perception of you that you have of yourself.
Yeah.
And it becomes very unfortunate when people just, they disregard that, or they don't even open their minds or their hearts to trying to know that version of you. So, which is why, yeah, I just want to ask, you know, just about identity.
And I feel like also as part of, you know, me growing up, I've built a very hard exterior.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I'm always, because I left secondary school last year.
Wow.
So this, crazy. A lot of these stuff, they still live very deep within me.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got into year 12, I had a very, like, I went in and it was, who's not, who's not, who's not, who's not. Like, I'm ready to beef everybody,
you know?
Because that's the environment that I came out of. That's when I say hard exterior. And that's really who I am, you know?
Yeah.
So I think there's parts of me that I want other people to see.
Yeah.
And so that they don't try me. And I think I said that earlier.
Mm.
So that they don't try me, so they don't bully me. Because I've seen a lot of people get bullied. And I'm not crazy. That. You can't bully me.
Yeah,
So there's parts of me that I want people to see so they don't fuck with me.
Yeah.
But deep down,
mm-hmm.
I'm just a boy.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing.
Because
a lot of the time you feel like you have to be someone else.
Yes.
In order to, I guess in some instances, survive.
Survive.
And make it out here. But I guess that's what, I'm just alluding to the bigger question again. I'm really sorry about how weighted it is. Who are you? Because surely that's you as well. Are you allowed to have multiple personas, for example?
Mm.
I guess that's the question.
You are. You're allowed to be different people. You're allowed to be a different person with different people.
Would you argue that that's inauthentic?
Ooh.
Do you see?
I do. I see. When you're at work, you're not going to be the same as when you're with your friends.
That's
it?
True.
Like, I'm not going to tell my boss, oh, fuck you.
Yeah.
But I'd probably say that to my friend if they're chatting shit.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's about making your...
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
So, I don't want to say palatable, but make it like, depending on the person, like also your elders, you know, the aunties and the uncles, it really depends on who you're talking to. You know,
I guess
address.
I think that's really, really true.
Address people how you know they should, with the respect that they need.
Yeah. So it's about time and place. I guess. So it's not necessarily that you're being someone different.
Yeah.
This is also a part of you, but it just comes out in certain circumstances.
Yes.
Certain instances.
Yes.
I like that. That's cool. That's good. Okay. Great. All right. Okay. Sorry, I'm just thinking about where I'm going to take it next.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm thinking, because basically what I said about John Paul Sartre, he, like someone else, I think this was his wife actually, Simone de Beauvoir, she spoke about this in regards to gender, saying how, well, her famous quote is, one is not born, but becomes a woman, basically. And it's just like, fairs, do you know what I mean? She basically talks about how people are socialized to become things.
Yes.
And I'm sure you've heard of the performing theory, in that you perform gender. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't, but I forgot who it was. Damn, I'm doing so bad with names today. But it's the theory that you perform gender, you perform the social constructs, because this is how it's presented to you, how you should behave. And now you feel as though, yes, you need to fit into that like category of thing. And that's where all these spectrums that you're talking about become so interesting, because people, when they want to be themselves, they just do whatever they want. Exactly. And they play around on the spectrum and they do whatever, they just float in whichever part they want to be, and they just do whatever. And I think that's what makes them uncomfortable to people who are very objective in their minds and who are very conservative in their beliefs, because you're seeing someone stepping out of what
the bubble.
Stepping out of what is like typical, what you're used to, and what you're comfortable with seeing. A lot of people are uncomfortable with discomfort, which is granted, you know what I mean?
And I think that's where a lot of homophobia
stems
and
from.
DL men, that's where a lot of that comes from, is seeing, you know, a lot of seeing gay men being who they are, you know? Like, and I think that's why a lot of also violence towards, you know, even violence towards women happens. Because, you know, seeing who these people are intimidates you. Why can't I be who I am? Why do I have to be locked away or have to, you know, hide myself, you know? So they, you know, have they, what's the word?
They project.
Mm-hmm. They project their insecurities onto other people.
I think that's real. Fairs, okay. Cool. I'm doing a lot of buffering today because it's just, there are so many things to draw from, and you've touched on so many different things. I'm really enjoying this, by the way.
Same.
Okay, cool. The next thing that I wanted to say is, maybe, for example, this is not entirely accurate, because how easy is it for you to step back from certain identities? So with something like gender, I feel like it's very easy to externally play with that,
yeah,
because you can appear to be a specific gender or not. So not gender, I guess, yeah, gender, you can appear to be a specific gender or not. You can appear to have a specific sexuality or not. Things like that are easier to hide, but something like race, for example, is not as easy. And even gender in some people's cases is not as easy to hide, it's not as easy to change, it's not as easy to play with. So I guess I don't know if there's really a question attached to that, but it's like, how much, that's the question, how much can one really be themselves if you're not physically able to change certain things about you? Are there things in life that you think that according to you, are there things in life that's just like, this is who I am, there's nothing I can do about that? And also, do you think people are doing something about who they are when they do deviate from the quote unquote quote norm? I think that's also a better question.
I think when I think about race, now I'm going to talk about race here.
Okay, go on.
Because this might get a bit controversial here. Think you can't change your race, but then I think a lot of like bleaching, you know, that's you changing your skin tone to pass as a lighter skin tone, so that you closer proximity to whiteness, more privilege, you feel insecure in yourself. That's you changing your, I don't, it's not changing your race, because the if you stop putting like on that cream for 30 days, you're going back.
Like you're still black, and there are also features of you that are still phenotypically black. But go on.
You know, it's complicated. I think, sorry, can you repeat your question again?
I think my question was, you were, sorry, I interrupted you. You were very much talking about it. But the question was like, are there things in life where it's like, this is who you are, and there's nothing you can do to change it? And then the extension of the question was, even with that, when people do quote unquote change aspects of themselves, are they really changing themselves, or are they being themselves? Do you see?
That is deep. Are they changing themselves, or are they being themselves? I have to think about this one.
Yeah, you have all the time that you need, really.
You know, I think, now, because I would say the social aspects of yourself, you're being yourself, yeah. Now I'm just gonna dibble and dabble in different talking points. So,
Go on.
So there's an aspect of socially changing yourself, e.g., you know, your gender, your sexuality, you know, all that stuff. And then there's, you know, changing your hair color, you know, changing, you know, your nail, even your nail color, even if I make these nails red,
like the acrylic on the hand right now,
exactly, that's you changing yourself, and even being yourself. I think that they go hand in hand. They go hand in hand.
Sometimes you have to change to be
yourself. I think they go hand in hand, because if you know, you change your hair color, and you know, you like that hair color, you know, that's me being me, that's me being who I want to be. If you don't like the hair color, just change it back, and you're back to who you are, back to who you want to be, you know.
Okay,
but then at the same time, it's like, well, you can't change being gay, like.
Do you see? So you can only pretend.
You can only pretend, and pretending only gets so far. You get aggravated. So you know,
So there are. It's not easy to answer the question. There are certain things that is immutable. You are who you are in that sense, and there is nothing you can do about it. Okay. Cool. Now we are going to progress into another aspect of philosophy called epistemology, which is the study of knowledge. And I feel like identity and knowledge go hand in hand, especially when you use this, when you include this concept of power into the equation. Everything will come together soon if it's not making sense yet. But in philosophy, there's this phraseology that we use called S knows that P. So S is the subject, knows that P, which is the proposition. And in philosophy, a lot of the time it's just, S knows that P. And recent race people, recent people who are writing in race literature, feminist literature, like literature surrounding the concept of oppression, they've targeted this concept of ethno is that P, and they basically said, it's not that ethno is that P, like you can't just leave that as a blank slate. It's a very white man thing to do, to think everything can just be arbitrary, because they don't really have many struggles. Sorry to the white men out there who are struggling. What do you call it? And they've basically said, so people like Jose Medina, for example, have said that you have to attribute social identities to S because that changes what S knows. And I just feel like, yeah. And I wanted to get your thoughts on that. Do you think knowledge is impacted by your social identity?
100%.
Go on.
I think now this is where class now starts to come into stuff, isn't it? I think when you are a... So class and age is how I'm going to try and argue this.
Go on.
When you are a middle-class 15-year-old living in Hampstead, with your... You're living in, you know, your mum's and dad's £2 million house, living on, you know... You don't really have to be aware of society because
you're sheltered.
You're sheltered.
Yeah.
But when you are a 15-year-old black kid living in Hackney, which I once was, you kind of have to be aware of what's going on around you because if you're not, e.g., child Q. Child Q happened when I was in year 10.
Wow.
And I remember being in a student council meeting and us having teachers having a conversation about it. You have to know about what's happening because at some point it might even impact you.
You know, I was gonna say it might be you next.
It might be you next.
Right.
And you know, especially now, me growing up in, well, me being in school, I felt like I felt like because teachers saw me as very opinionated, very out there, very like I'm willing, like I said, I will cuss these house. Do you get it? I got a mouth for me.
Yeah, as you should.
So they saw me as this very big personality and they didn't really feel the need to intervene. Okay. They didn't feel the need to, you know, it's like, oh, that, you know, that that one black kid, the one that's not going to, you know, he'll be fine. But when that white girl starts crying,
suddenly rushing over. Everybody's, I know it's not the same, but it reminds me of something that I went through in secondary school. I wasn't the most outgoing person. I wasn't the most, you know, favorable in the looks and all that. So people actually were not very nice to me. And then I went to go and report. I went to go and report to the teacher. Do you know what they said to me?
What?
Oh, you can't be bullied because you're tall.
Bingo.
I couldn't believe it.
That is some bullshit.
I couldn't believe my eyes. And this is what I'm, you know, this is what I'm talking about. It's just, that's how your experiences are now like formed by your quote unquote identity. Because someone like me, allegedly, I can't be bullied because I'm tall. And it's just, I don't know, I wanted to just bring that up. I know it's not the same, but that's what you reminded me of. I started getting in my feelings because that's actually what happened to me. But I guess that's the other thing that I actually wanted to ask. Do you think that these things are necessary? Things like, I know it's gonna sound crazy, but things like bullying, things like being, I don't know, things like being working class, things like going through struggle, you know, just being oppressed and all that. Just, do you think it's necessary for like character building? Do you see? But at the same time, it's like, that's not fair though.
It's not.
But at the same time, maybe it's fair because there are some people, you like, clearly you have not been flogged.
You've not.
Like, it's evident you haven't been jumped.
Do you know what I mean? I'm saying about the 15-year-old white kid that's growing up in Hampstead, they don't have to worry about getting jumped at the chip shop. They don't have to worry about that. You know, because they're going home to mac and cheese and spaghetti carbonara. You know?
I haven't even heard of spaghetti carbonara. Right. Okay.
So like, you know, I think bullying, now I'm going to personalize it a tiny bit.
Okay, go on.
The stuff, and I think I alluded to it earlier, the things that I went through have shaped, in secondary school, shaped who I've become.
Okay.
Shaped me into this very outgoing, confident, like when I went to a party a few.
So you would say it's character building?
It is character building.
Okay, go on.
I went to a party a few, what do you call it? Was it 3 days ago?
Wow.
And someone was like to me, oh my God, I love your presence. You're just giving boss.
Yeah.
And you know, when you walk into a room, you're just like, you can own the room.
I love that.
And I'm thinking to myself, well, damn, okay. If I didn't get bullied by that one dickhead, I probably wouldn't have this presence. Because I was, when I would walk into the lunchroom at 8:40 in the morning for registration,
yeah,
I had to walk in with a cold fucking face, yeah, is what I had to, so that these people, yeah?
Yeah.
I had to walk in.
Yeah. So people know you can't mess with me.
Exactly. It's too early in the morning.
Okay.
All right, try me at lunchtime.
Yeah, maybe.
So I think in that respect.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
The bullying did shape me into who I am.
Yeah.
And I think also I've kind of chilled out.
Because as you get older, you get... Do you know what it is?
Mm.
In my head, sometimes it's like you have to go through extremes in order to find a medium.
Exactly.
And it's really unfortunate, but at first you're really nice, you're really soft, you're really mm-hmm. kind, you're really open, people take advantage of you. Mm. So you go to the complete other end of the spectrum, mm-hmm. which is I'm going to be as cold and hostile as possible, no one can mess with me.
Exactly.
And then what happens is what you just mentioned. You've calmed down a little bit.
Very much
in
that
you found a middle ground of knowing how to, be open to people, but also knowing there's a point that it gets to, now you're violating. I'm not gonna allow you to cross this certain boundary.
Mm.
And as we spoke about, it's character building. But I guess that leads to another question. I think it's a bit ethical, a bit of morality coming in.
Mm.
In that, would you say that bullying is a good thing in that regard?
No.
Yeah, so
the effects of it on the person that's being bullied,
mm-hmm.
well, the positive impacts. Now, because I do think there are positive impacts.
That's the thing I've been seeing on TikTok recently. Oh, we need to bring back bullying.
That's UK TikTok. Those are the bullies that are saying that.
Yeah.
Because more time, a lot of these people in comment sections are the bullies. A lot of these creators are the bullies.
Yeah.
So I'm not listening to them.
Mm.
What I think is, because when I was, I think year 11 is a classic example of this.
Yeah.
Because I think that's where the divide was really, we were going through GCSEs and it was there.
It's hard out here, man.
Yeah. When one of my friends or even a group of my friends were getting bullied, I'll have to instill into them, look, you have to stand up for yourself because no one else, because I'm not gonna be here forever.
Yeah.
And I'm not in your life now.
Yeah.
You know? You have to learn how to stand up for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise,
it's gonna be long.
It's gonna be long. Like, you know?
Yeah.
And I think in that respect, that's what you can take from bullying.
Mm.
Being able to stand up for yourself, mm-hmm. you know, when someone's trying you, etc. That's important, so you don't get trodden all over.
Yeah,
I've seen too many people get trodden, and I hate it.
Yeah,
I really hate when people prey on innocent people.
Yeah, it's awful.
That's
the thing. The concept of bullying in and of itself is very, very awful. We already know this. It's bad. It's not nice. It's not good. It's immoral. Even, I feel like you want to say something. I'm gonna let you land.
However,
okay, there's a however. Because
now it just came up into my head.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of bullies are going through shit.
No, that's true.
And that's another thing. Where does the bully... Because I'm going to go back to year 8, year 9.
Mm.
I once was a bully, actually.
Really?
I do. And I
your confession time. Tell us the story, Marcel. What happened?
I do regret my life.
Yeah, go on. There are,
especially in my coming out eras, in the eras where I was finding myself, but okay. I was too scared to even attempt to come out of the closet because I definitely, I did have a lot of internalized homophobia. And I did project.
That one is deeper.
I projected that.
Yeah.
I did. And I, you know, I wouldn't say wife for that because I didn't know what that means. I'm not Jamaican.
And the thing is, I don't think that term was even popular at that time when you were in your ear. I think it's, anyway.
I don't even know what was going on. 2020 was.
Yeah, an interesting time.
It was an interesting time. Yeah. I had a lot of internalized homophobia. Mm. I was friends with a lot of people that weren't shit.
Mm.
And I realized that later on.
As you should.
And I just became a person that I didn't like. Mm. So when I became friends with, you know, one of my ex-friends, unfortunately we're not friends now.
I hope they're doing
yeah. well, because they did help me to become who I am today. Okay. You know, I think the parts of the bullying and, you know, I became more comfortable and I became a happier person and I didn't need to project onto other people, you know. So I think bullies do have some sort of shame that they want to, you know.
Like they're hiding.
They're hiding.
With their behavior, exactly. Basically. Okay, interesting. Mm. So it's like we've been looking very much at the victim this whole time.
Mm.
But there's a little bit of stuff that we need to investigate about the people who are doing the bullying.
Because some people, they also have identity
crises.
It's true.
Crises, I mean English, whichever one it is. You're right. Mm. Never thought of that. We're about to play a game. It's not really a game. It's a philosophy game. It's not anything crazy. It's just a thought experiment.
Okay.
So it's gonna pick your brain a little bit. Mm. Who was the guy? Oh, there's a guy called, his surname is Shoemaker.
Mm.
Philosophers have the most like iconic names. I love it. Mm-hmm. And he devised a thought experiment, which was basically that a brain transplant happens.
Oh,
yeah, and we can use this to contextualize basically the claims about identity and experience that we're talking about right now. Mm. So the brains of two individuals, one, his name is Mr. Robinson, and the second is Mr. Brown. They are mistakenly swapped. I don't know, they both were having brain surgery outside of their bodies and they put one brain into somebody else's brain, so their brains are swapped. They're ultimately swapped. Cool. And one person survives the transplant. And that person is Robinson's body, but Brown's brain.
Okay.
But the other one with Brown's body and Robinson's brain, unfortunately, passes away. Okay. That person dies. So all we have is Robinson's body and Brown's brain, who people now call Brownson.
Okay.
Yeah. So the question is the survivor Robinson or Brown?
Ah. So it's Robinson's body and Brown's brain.
Yes.
Ah.
Do you see? Is it Robinson or is it Brown? And what is determining your response?
It's Brown.
Okay. Why is that?
His brain.
Okay. What is so important and special about the brain?
You know, the brain controls your body.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the thought processes that he's going to have, you know, because if I do say now it's Robinson, Robinson's not going to know who Robinson's family members are.
That's so true.
Robinson's not going to know his routine. Robinson's going to know Brown's routine.
Yeah.
So wait, so Brown is the one I think is.
Yeah, you think it's Brown.
So Brown is going to know, you know, so it's Brown in Robinson's body. Yes. Mm-hmm. Brown is going to do everything Brown does just in a different body.
Yeah.
Brown is going to know his family members. Brown is going to know, you know, his morning routine, Brown's job, Brown's everything.
So this person is Brown.
That is Brown.
Especially because if we draw on the concept you started talking about, and I said it was John Locke's idea of your identity being your memory through time.
Yeah.
Robinson's body is going to have Brown's memories in it. So that is Brown, that's basically. Brown. Now, what if Brown was white and Robinson was black? After an in, a caveat.
Oh.
Spanner in the works.
That is.
Is, and that's the thing. There's also another argument, which is neither.
Yeah.
This is now a new person.
Yeah.
Do you, like, because identity is usually like thought of to be just your memories, your mind, your whatever, but your body and your phenotype is also very, very important to your identity, especially in this day and age, especially with socialization, especially with, you know, things like racism and homophobia and things 100%. Of that nature. So I ask you the question again, is this Brown or Robinson?
It's still Brown, however, Brown will have to learn, he'll have to be re-socialized.
Okay.
So he'll have to be re-socialized now into I'm black and this is now how I have to live my life.
Yeah.
You know, because even if Brown is black, like, and you know, he's living this whole life as a black man, he's deep in his mind still, he's still gonna have everything else that he has had through the rest of his life.
Yeah. Especially if these lot are in their like mid-40s, you know what I mean?
Like, that's 40 years. Yeah. Like, even in these 17 years,
it's a lot. Happened.
And I still have a lot more years to go.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think he'll be re-socialized.
Mm-hmm.
At the back of his mind, is still Brown.
Okay. That's interesting. Thank you.
Yes.
I like that. Looking at the time, we're going to have to wrap it up soon.
Oh my God, it's been an hour.
Yeah. That's what I'm telling you. It just happens so quickly. So I guess I want to just ask you about any closing comments and just how you feel about the question, how you feel about your response, your journey through this whole episode. Any concluding remarks? Be who you are. Literally.
One.
Be who you are.
Because if you're not who you are, you're going to live a life of peril.
Wow.
Shame. Just gonna be deep. You're just going to be walking through life with a dark cloud over your head. And there's only so much I could do that for. So being who you are, one, take your life seriously, because I've seen that's a lot good. Of bums.
Yeah, that's good.
I've seen a lot of bums in my lifetime, even in this very short lifetime. You know, I've seen a lot of people, you know, not take life seriously. So take life seriously. Three, take every opportunity given to you. Don't care about what outside influences think. That's a really important one. Because, you know, if I'm going to carry that handbag I bought, I'm going
to
carry it.
I was even going to say it looks great, by the way.
Thank you.
I didn't even get to look at it properly. Anyway, let me let you finish.
That is, some people are saying, you look like a lady. But I don't care because I like it. So, you know, be who you are, you know, take life seriously. That's basically.
I really like that. Because usually people come up with the same points when they give like life advice, I guess.
Yeah.
But I've never really heard the second one that you said, which is take what is it, life or take yourself
seriously. Take yourself seriously. Like, your body is a temple.
Yeah.
Your life is sacred, you know. So there's no point wasting it, e.g. to be in a gang. E.g. to, you know, not do well in school. Because as much as, you know, it is a controlling device, it's what we have at the moment. I mean,
literally the education system is even something else to talk about in and of itself. Like, there's so much that we could have touched on, but as we know, an hour is actually not a lot of time, especially when we have to break down certain things. But everything that you brought up, I think I'm really happy with the perspective that you brought. It's very nuanced.
Yes.
It's very youthful.
Yes.
It's very, and I say that and I'm literally 21. Like, there isn't actually that much years between us. But it's very interesting to hear this coming from you, because I remember the place that I was at when I was in sixth form. It's crazy, man. Yes. It's crazy. And to know that there are so many years for you to continue, like, you're not finished being you.
Yeah.
Like, your identity is not complete.
Got a long way to
and
go.
And that's the thing. When will it, will who you are ever be finished until you die? Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like you just keep growing. You keep changing. You keep elevating. And I hope nobody contracts an existential crisis as a result of this, because who are you is a really, really huge question. But you are who you are, you know. You've heard it here first. Marcel has given great advice. I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. I've already asked if there's anything else you want to leave off with, and I think you've given a really beautiful overview.
Yes.
I've really enjoyed this conversation. Thank you so much for everything that you've added. And yeah, guys, make sure you check him out on socials, which are
Marcel Moses with a 0, not an O.
Zero Not At All. Yes. Okay, guys. On every platform.
On Instagram and on TikTok.
Instagram and TikTok. Yes. You don't do Twitter, no.
Child. Twitter's.
The ghetto. Yeah. I run away from Twitter as well. I don't post on Twitter. That's too scary.
I'm still on there, but.
On low key though. First. Okay, anyway, guys. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Thank you for tuning in again. And I will see you in the next one. Bye.